Morning, everyone. How's everyone doing?
Morning. Morning.
To hear your voices. Did you guys have a good Thanksgiving?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
A lot. You guys do turkey or you do Chinese turkey?
Chinese turkey.
Chinese turkey.
Who did hot pot? Who did hot pot?
Oh, that's real Chinese. That's good.
Okay. We did the turkey.
You did the turkey. That's nice. Yeah. Yeah, we had the turkey too. Nancy made the turkey. That's why we're at her house.
Yeah. Not easy.
No, it was great. It was good. It was juicy. And then it made everyone fall asleep. So, that's very hard. Well, if you guys are, I can't see all of you guys, but if you guys are all following in, maybe we can wait another minute. We can all break up into small groups and just think about how has the Holy Spirit comforted you this week? That question just came up to mind as we were, as we have been talking about, last week, talking about how the Spirit is our comfort. In fact, his name is Comforter, right? So I'm wondering what he has done throughout this week to bring comfort to you. And if you break out into small groups so you can share with each other.
Right.
So I'm sure that the Holy Spirit comforted all of you this week, whether you shared or not. So if you want to have something that you want to really share with the group, feel free. Give you a quick 10 seconds. But either way, I'm sure that he has spoken to you and your family and has comforted you in a very intimate way. And so we thank God for that. Amen. I'll start us out with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you, and we always come before you giving thanks because you're the one who gave us life. You're the one that sustains us, and not only that, but you continue to work in us, in our families, to bring about blessing and healing and restoration and comfort and power for us to grow, not only physically, but spiritually, in our souls, especially during this pandemic. So we thank you because we are not alone, but we are surrounded by your works, by your people, and by your word, and that we are continuously uplifted because you do not forsake your children, but you continue to put your eyes upon them. And we feel that this morning because your eyes are upon us and that we are not forgotten, but we are remembered by you. And that is a great blessing when God remembers us and when you see us in our daily lives, in our families, that you love us and you understand us, you see us. So we just want to focus on that this morning. We thank you because you're a father that's not far away, but very near and dear to us and close to us. And as we approach worship this morning, as we read your word, as we kind of focus on what you have to say to us today, Lord, let us be comforted that your words are meant to bring us to another level, to bring us closer to you, and to bring us into more understanding of who you are and who we are. We lift your name on high. We pray all this in your name. Amen.
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 All right. So as we move along into the next blessed, this one is probably surprisingly one of my favorite after the a poor in spirit, because I've learned something that's just new. It's just new information, and it's quite amazing. And hopefully you guys will feel the same way as we go through this. Now, last week we talked about how we are comforted by the Holy Spirit, that we, when we mourn, regardless of the issue, we are humbled and we come before him. And when we do that, the Spirit draws us closer to the Father and comforts us and strengthens us, right? This week, we move into a blessing that is even more powerful, I think. So let's look at it. Here's the Beatitudes, all of it, the whole sermon right here. And I kind of want to just look at the three blessedness that we already encountered. The poor in spirit, those who mourn, and blessed are the meek. That's what we're going to be studying today. I wonder if you guys noticed any similarities in the first three, and just as a review. Any similarities that you see? It doesn't have to be anything that we covered, but just something that you've seen in the first three. Commonalities.
The English is saying, Frank, I see they or theirs. The English is similar in all three.
The ones that I highlighted.
And I'm right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Three, four, and five say are theirs or they or they're they.
Theirs. Okay. Yeah.
They or they.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How about for, you know, do you see anything in poor in spirit and those who mourn in the meek? Any similarities?
These are people who are not looked up to.
Oh, not looked up to. Okay, yeah. Yeah, I think we've been in this these few weeks talking about something almost seemingly sad, right? I'm not trying to be sad. I want to be happy, but the text, we have to go where the text is, right? The text is like, it's kind of dealing with people who are sad. And we are in a sad state in the world, and I don't know why we want to talk more about sadness, but we're in a sad state. Yeah.
Well, does it say blessed are those who...
Okay, yeah. So, but there's blessed in the front. Okay. Yeah. It's interesting. But Janet, what you pointed out is that I think if I just put these three words out there for most to see, the first thing people see without seeing the blessed or the kingdom of heaven or comfort or inherit the earth, we see things that are sad. So for the natural man, these are things that we would find no happiness in. We would not like to be in this state as natural men, right? Men and women. We do not want to be poor. We do not, poor in spirit. We do not want to mourn, and we don't want want to be meek. Well, maybe we do after we identify what the definition of meekness is. So these are a blessing for the spiritual man. The spiritual man, it's things that I had pertaining to spiritual value. That's why it's blessed. So keep that in mind as we go through verse 5 today, right? Because naturally, we don't want to be in this state. But as spiritual people, those who believe in Jesus, why are we blessed? Why do we want to be in this state? Or when we are in this state, why are we to consider this as a blessed state? That's going to be interesting. Let's look at the definition. How about that? Verse 5. I want to look at the definition of meek or meekness. This is what I found. In the Bible dictionary, found gentleness. I think most of you guys know that. In humility, control power, you know, like a superhero who's controlling his power, right? Or maybe not. I mean, I thought of that. I Googled it too. And I found they're pretty good too, until the last one, right? Patient, yeah, long suffering, submissive in disposition or, you know, your state of being, humble, you know, spiritless. Woo! Wow, I saw that. That's, I'm surprised that was one of the definition. Spiritless, but it's in direct contrast to what we're studying today, which is everything about the spirit. It's interesting they say spiritless. Why do you think the Google definition has spiritless out of all the words?
You said it's a different kind of word.
I think it's a different kind of spirit. Mm. We're not talking about Holy Spirit.
Oh, definitely not, yeah.
I think they did it on purpose.
You think they did it on purpose?
Yeah.
The internet, don't trust the internet. Yeah.
Yeah, because a lot of it's against. Well, a lot of people have backgrounds of the Bible, and it's they use things like this to combat Christianity.
Sure. It's interesting you said that, because then that would entail that Google, whoever is behind Google, sees this word as a Christian word or biblical word. It's not a word that's being used today.
Yeah.
Hmm. That's interesting, Janet. Yeah.
And sometimes, and I looked up Jesus Christ, what does it mean? And the translation said it was a curse word.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it is. They can be used as a curse word, which is blasphemy. But yeah. So this tells us a lot about the word meekness defined by even Google when it says spiritless, because certainly this person, when Jesus is talking about meek, it's certainly not talking about spiritless. Neither Holy Spirit nor spiritless in terms of the energy in a person, right? Well, we know in Galatians 5:23 that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. Same word as meek, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. So from Galatians 5:23 itself, we know it is one of the fruit of the Spirit too. And it is fruit of the Spirit. So it couldn't be spiritless, right? Because it is definitely a fruit of the Spirit. And that's what the Bible talks about. Do you know anyone who is meek? And can you describe that, what that looks like?
What definition do you want to use of that, Frank? The biblical definition or the Google definition?
Thank you, Scott, for clarifying that. You know what? I want to know both definitions. Okay. If you know anyone who is like that, yeah, I would be. I'm curious. Yeah. Mm. You guys want to break out? Is better to break out, talk about this, or I think we can talk about this together, right? Yeah.
Hey, Frank, I would also submit, right, that when even non-Christians, like, you know, there is a word of spirit that does not refer to anything in the supernatural, right? So sometimes it's a little bit maybe older use in our language, but, you know, people say, oh, that person's in high spirits, or that person's in low spirits, right? So spirit has to kind of do with like your energy, like your energy level, your outlook on stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Right?
So when that person's in high spirits, you know, you're kind of in a mood, right? You're kind of in a great mood. So I think there's a different, so I don't think it necessarily always has to do with like a supernatural spirit, right? So
yeah, it may
be like super off.
Yeah, so spiritless could be low mood.
Mm-hmm.
Down. Mm-hmm. You're just without energy, without life, mm-hmm. right? Without life. Mm-hmm. So even if that was the case, Jesus is still saying, those of you in
mm-hmm.
low moods or without life, without energy, in that case, you are still blessed. Well, how so? And, you know?
Yeah.
But given this definition, you know, just face value, gentleness and humility. Do you know anyone who is meek? How do you describe that person that you know? Not Jesus, because I know we know Jesus is meek. Don't say Jesus. Someone you know in real life that you met. What did that person, can you describe that person? You don't have to say who he is or she is.
I just have a joke.
Okay.
Yeah, we have a, how to say, if the man wanna find a wife, they should find the Japanese wife, because those Japanese lady is meek.
Mm.
I see, yes. Joke.
So Linda, Chinese women are not meek.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
So meek, Linda, in that joke is someone who's I'm assuming that you're saying just quiet and submissive.
Yeah, gentleness and humility.
Humility.
Never say no to the husband.
Never say no.
Always a smile to husband.
Wow, you gotta bow a lot, right?
Yeah, you gotta.
Yes.
Woo. You gotta cover your mouth when you smile too. is that a real, do you think it's that's the meekness that Jesus is talking about? Is that real gentleness?
Maybe one part of them.
Yeah. I wonder if they, do you think they enjoy being that way?
Who?
The Japanese woman.
They trained that way.
Trained them, okay.
Yeah.
Trained, okay. So they may be feeling something else inside, right?
Maybe not.
Not, okay.
Yeah, they feel that's normal.
Okay, right. All right,
I also have Japanese friends when I was younger. I met them here in the US and they don't want to go back. They enjoy the life here.
They don't have to be as meek.
Right? Yeah.
It's they like, want to be as meek. Okay. Who else? You guys know anyone else who is meek?
I have a question. So is this meek something that is deliberate, or they just are not able to control, like they have to be that way.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like what this is describing here in the Beatitude, what Jesus is explaining, is this someone that is deliberately and, you know, purposefully being meek and humble, or is it they don't have any other choice to be that way?
Mm.
I don't know. I'm just asking.
I think Frank's reading us.
I think I'm going to refer us back to Galatians 5:23. And I think circumstances do bring us low or meek or gentle and makes us humble. But the meekness that Jesus is talking about is one of the fruit of the Spirit.
Frank, that group of people that live in Pennsylvania, elsewhere, they call it Amish. Amish.
Uh-huh.
I've only seen pictures. I've never really met any in person, but they seem to be very quiet, very subdued.
Yeah.
Very gentle. Fit this picture of meek, or they're very spiritual too. So.
Yes. Yes. In fact, they believe in that they're a community that actually believes in God, right?
Right.
And I don't know their theology about Jesus, but they're certainly very spiritual, as you said. Mm-hmm. That's a picture that comes up when you guys talk about meek, mm-hmm. gentle and humble, quiet, maybe submissive. Anyone else? That's kind of the everybody agrees with that definition. Is that
could that be talking about someone that who is going through some situations that they have no control over? It get to the point that they're willing to accept someone's help, or that will get them to into a point that they're willing to quiet down and listen to Scott's teaching.
Mm. Okay, that's interesting, Mabel. A person is brought to a point where they have to come down, in your words, right? They ran out of resources. They come to the end of themselves and they are humbled.
Yeah.
Then that kind of answers, I think, Peter's question. Or I don't know if it answers that question, that it is something that may not be of your own doing. It's a state that you kind of come into because of certain circumstances.
Yeah, I tend to think that it's probably purposeful and deliberate, where because we're studying Philippians in our Bible, you know, fellowship, right? Like where you put others above yourself, right? Mm-hmm. And by doing that, you're putting others at an advantage. So you're losing out on something. But then the passage says, well, it's okay because you're blessed. And you're blessed because you do that, you're meek, and the inheritance will be yours. Mm-hmm. So it's okay if you're lack, you're putting others above yourself and you're giving others an advantage because the inheritance is still yours. That was my thought.
Yeah, and that's my understanding for the most part when you read this, is that you do something and God gives you something, right? You become meek or you become gentle. And this is part of that. I mean, I think there is that teaching. I mean, we're supposed to be gentle towards others. Let me just say that this verse is very interesting because there is this, there is different ways of looking at this verse. That's why it's so vast and very deep. And I want us to go through this process and not just gloss over it and say, oh yeah, just be gentle. I want us to process it. That's why I'm allowing a lot of time for us to ask questions and discuss it. Now, I do want us to think about this next definition that may be more eye-opening for us, right? We keep on talking about meekness towards others, toward each other. Have you ever thought about that meekness is towards God? This is something that Mabel kind of touched upon just right now, right? That gentleness or meekness is the opposite of self-assertiveness, which is something you do, or self-interest. It's exactly the opposite. And meekness towards God is the, hey, what are you doing?
Sorry.
Oh, no, he just got transported. No, we're at his house.
He teleported, man.
Teleported, yes.
Oh, Peter, that was interesting.
That was interesting. So meekness towards God is that disposition of spirit, which we accept his dealings with us as good. So we do not dispute or resist. In the Old Testament, meek are those who are wholly relying on God rather than their own strength to defend against injustice. Now, this definition blows my mind. It's not just gentle. This is a very different, because gentleness applies to believers and non. I've seen a lot of non-believers who are gentle. That's too broad of a term. This kind of really hones in on the meekness. And that's why Jesus is called meek and mild, right? He was meek. He was considered a man with the characteristics of meekness.
Frank, I think sometimes all these words get blurred, right? Gentleness, meekness, humble, submissive, or even like Linda joked about, you know, a certain type of people. But when you say that Jesus is meek, is Jesus just like a lot of the mentality that we have? It seems like we have this understanding that meekness is like being really weak, you know, like have no power. But when you say that Jesus is meek, was Jesus weak? Like, did Jesus have no power? And then when you say that in the Old Testament, the meek are those, right? I could think of one man in the Old Testament who was described as meek. Like the Bible described him as like the meekest man on earth, which is like Moses. But Moses doesn't seem to me to be weak. Moses was highly educated. Moses was physically strong. You know, he was able to physically like murder somebody. You know, I mean, he had like strength. He was part of the royal family, right? So he also had power, right? Like power, you know, like royal power, right? So he had physical strength, he had positional power, and he had intellect and education. You know, how was that person described as meek?
Yeah.
Right.
So,
right. So meek is just being like weak, right?
So notice, I mean, in the definition, of all the definitions, it didn't say that anyone was weak, right? Just say that you're humble and you're gentle. And in this definition, certainly there's no connotation that it's weak at all.
Mm-hmm.
I would venture to say that it takes someone who has incredible strength to be meek. You describe, when I look at the, you know, meekness towards God is that we accept God dealing. I think this brings to mind of how Jesus was. Jesus was meek, not because he was weak, but because he submitted himself before God, holy to the Father. You know, the word meekness used by the Greeks, I thought this was interesting by Warren Wiersbe, one of the commentators. He said that the Greeks described it as a horse that has been broken, but a very powerful horse, but under the control of its master.
Mm.
So the horse is not weak. It is not a lame horse. Okay. In view of this definition, do you think there's any weakness involved in like what you just said? I don't think so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No,
how about you guys? How about? I'll just ask that. You know, in light of this definition. You know, would you define meekness different? Do you know anyone who is meek?
I guess I'm still kind of on that because I do have somebody that I feel like taught me what meekness was my great grandmother. Mm. And so my understanding is like gentleness to me is understanding and being gentle to how the Holy Spirit moves and understanding that.
Yes.
But in the same sense, she was always bold and never let the holiness, like things cross that line. And so she was still always bold and spoke up, but
mm-hmm.
she was more gentle to how like God moves.
Yes, yes.
And that was always what gentleness is to me.
Wow, okay. I never understood it that way. No one ever taught me that, but I think your grandma was very wise, Becca.
Yeah, she didn't teach me, she showed it. And like, that's also the whole component too, is like the action of our faith in that, like can't be compromised regardless of comfort or things like that.
How did she show that she was meek by, how did she show that gentleness to, and being, following the Holy Spirit? Can you give a example?
Sorry, I didn't hear anything. I had to walk away to help the kids.
That's okay. I was just asking if you had time. Are you able to share a little bit about how, you know, one area that your grandma displayed meekness?
So like I said, like that's her connection with the Spirit.
Yeah. Connection with the Spirit.
Sorry, like
I know
kids are yelling in the background, but anyway,
I get it.
Yeah, I know. So we cool.
That's way cool. I get
okay,
it.
Okay, so okay, so her, that is like knowing how God moves. So you're like constantly in prayer, and like that's what I mean being like sensitive, because all day like God can speak with us, right? Like all day, and it's that connection, and that's how God's Spirit flows through us to all those around us. So that's my gentleness, like understanding, is she's gentle, knowing how like keen and sporadic, I guess, God moves, you know, and so being in always praying, but then like knowing how to move on that. I don't know if that makes sense.
That makes sense, Becca. Thank you for sharing. I know with the baby in the background, it's with the kid in the background, it's always hard. But the gentleness and the meekness, you know, that you were sharing is that you're continuously surrendering and giving over to the leading of the Holy Spirit. As a result, you're surrendering yourself. And that is the opposite of self-assertiveness, right? You're not allowing your own volition as to what you want, but you're giving over your self-interest to what God wants. And you're right. Gentle. Yes. Go ahead, Kai.
So I think like kind of hearing from maybe, you know, what people have shared earlier definition, we sometimes associate meekness with like being quiet and not like spoken out, right? Like vocally speaking, and we tend to see someone who's just, you know, accepting of their fate or like accepting like just their circumstances without speaking anything as someone who's like maybe meek or humble. And I don't think that's necessarily the case, because, you know, if we're looking at the definition you're providing, we're looking at someone who's, we're talking about the state of their mind, their spirit, right? Where it's actually the reason they are meek is because if you look at here, it's really the trust in the Lord, right? Like, because they understand God is sovereign over their life, that sort of elicit the meek response of I accept God's dealings, you know, versus, I mean, they can still be a very vocal, opinionated and strong or weak, right? Any sense of weak in who they are, but the state of where they're at is like, I still trust in God who is leading me. I accept the way that he has, like, you know, dealt with this current situation.
Yeah.
And not in a, I guess, like in what, like a, today's like today's culture where like, hey, well, I will give you my opinion and I will tell you what I think because I matter, right?
Kai, that's you know, that's right on. And so meekness is not necessarily being quiet, you know, being, you know, that joke that Linda is telling us earlier where, you know, you're just submissive and you're quiet. You could be, nothing wrong with that, but that doesn't really give this definition, it's, you know, it doesn't do this definition justice, because meekness is what's going on inside and your attitude towards a sovereign God that you're giving over to what God has deemed to be important, what God has set in motion, and that we're actually bending towards God's will, right? And then when we are in that state, which that's what Jesus was the perfect example in our model for what meekness is, right? He is wholly given over to God's leading and doing the Father's will. Yeah.
Is it kind of like this? I have a very funny thought. So imagine you're like a kung fu master, right? And you have this like, you're really good at fighting.
Oh yeah.
Kind of like you have a very, you know, strong Holy Spirit in you, and you can control your powers, right? But then the opponent keeps attacking you. And then you're just in defensive mode. You're not in the offensive mode.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't lash back, right? And you're controlling your power. Is it kind of like that?
Well, I think that's a good way to describe it, to give us some image. Yeah, it's kind of like that. You're controlling your power. But I want to go a step further, is that you are controlling your power not because you're controlling it. You're controlling your power because you're listening to the Spirit. You're still listening to what the Spirit wants to do. There are times when, you know, God wants to move forward and you go. There is times where God wants you to stay back. You stay back. You know, the controlled power is dependent on what the Father wants to do. Right? So that's what, again, we go back to Jesus. He did what he did, not because what he wanted to do. He did what the Father wanted to do. He was under the feeling of the Holy Spirit. And then when the Spirit says, hey, go here, he will go, because he is listening to what the Father wants him to do. And that's what led him to the cross. It was hard for him to go to the cross. That's why he was in the Garden of Gethsemane praying so much that his sweat were like drops of blood. And he submitted to the Father, even to the point of the cross.
Yes, I think a part with the meekness that needs to be spoken about is about the humility and the self-control, kind of what you're saying, which what Jesus had was the self-control to allow the Spirit to move through him at all times.
Yes.
That his willingness to be instructed by God and his willingness to surrender constantly.
Yeah.
And I think the Beatitudes in general are characteristics of a believer. That they, from each one that Jesus is showing, even from the first one, the 5:3, blessed are the poor in spirit. And, you know, when you're at that level, that's like the first level of surrendering and accepting God, understanding that you can't do anything without him. And you're at that place where you're ready to be led by him.
Yeah.
And then going into blessed are they that mourn, you know, that God will comfort them. And again, that's in humility, with your face down already, surrendered to God. And now you're ready to realize your faults and lay them down and move up to being meek, growing and being meek and actively surrendering every moment and every time.
Is that Sarah? Sorry, I can't see you.
Yes, that's me.
Yes, thank you, Sarah. That's such a good summary of what we've been going through. It is really the state that we're in, where we know that we can't do anything, and that we submit to God, and he takes over. Yeah, all these three kind of build on it, stacks on one another. And Jesus is not saying this, you know, by chance. He's not stringing these three together just because it sounds good, but it's a progression, right? And it's kind of interpreting each other, and it's all linked together. So what he's showing us that a believer is one who is completely surrendering, always in the journey of surrendering more and more to God's control. And that's why you're blessed. The control of our master, our Father. And that's why we're his servants, right? We can't be servants if we don't have a master. But that's not Jesus says, but it's a blessing. It's not one that is so constrained. In fact, it's one that has a blessing. And that's why we would see that. But before I go on, does anyone else have anything to say about this meekness? Thank you for all your sharing. I think we get this, right? We get that the meekness is coming to a state that is before God and surrendering to his will. And that's a good place.
Hey, Frank, I just have one thing to add. I know you're kind of moving on, but since you asked that question about meekness, and
yeah.
I think it's great that we're evaluating how we practice meekness before God. The meekness is also a Christian quality. It is also a fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5:23, gentleness, right? Meekness is the same word. That is a result of us following Christ. So meekness actually is a Christian attribute. It's not just towards God. Actually, Christians are to be meek. Christians ought to bear the fruit of the Spirit and display a meekness. And that meekness and gentleness is towards people.
Mm-hmm.
It's towards, right? That there's always our life has a two-dimensional relations. One is to God, one is to our fellow human beings.
And when you look at the scripture, it actually calls us to be meek. And when Jesus says, take up my yoke, right? And follow me, for I am gentle, right? I am meek. And so it's certainly we need to reflect, I think, meditate about the way we are before God, where our will stands. I really like what you put in there earlier, that we're yielding ourselves. It's a selflessness. It's taking our eyes and focus away from ourselves. But I think it's also worthwhile. I mean, it's worth my while, and I hope for you guys too, to think about meekness towards one another, right? That's the hard part. I actually think sometimes it might be easier to be meek or gentle before God because he's God. I mean, he is God. He's in control. He is the creator of all heaven and earth. He's all powerful. I mean, can I even not be meek before God, right? And I'm totally willing to because he's perfect. But what about meek before another human being? What about meek? What about being meek and gentle to my husband or my wife, right? Do we display meekness to our children, or do children just see us as authoritarian? We're the one dominating. Can we actually, right? Frank says, can you think of someone who's meek? I wonder if I ask my kids, once you understand the term meekness and gentleness, do you think your parents are meek and gentle? Because we need to be, right? If we are growing in our walk with the Lord, are we meek and gentle to our coworkers? How about to our boss? You know, how about to the people who wrong us? I think that's just so encompassing. And those are the uncomfortable places. But yet, that is what, that we're not only meek towards certain people or towards God and not to others, right? If we're meek, we're meek. If I am meek, I'm meek. Yet at the same time, when we think about Jesus being the example of meekness, we know that he's just not a pushover. That's why we think meek means pushover and weak. He's not. But is he really meek? He is, because he's the lamb that's led to slaughter without complaining, right? Isaiah 53, that lamb to be slaughtered. And his life does exhibit that. But we can see his life also with a certain strength and conviction as an example for us. So that's my main reflection on meekness, Frank. It's how am I practicing or evaluating my meekness before God? But as I think about it, like bring it down to earth, right? Bring it like rubber meets the road, like life. Am I meek? Do I even want to be meek? Do I even want to bear that fruit of the spirit of meekness and gentleness towards people, especially people closest to me?
Mm. Yeah, you know, it's interesting, Pastor James, that you mentioned that, meekness towards God and men are both, you know, same, two sides of the same coin, in that sometimes it's even harder to be meek to others. This could be a discussion, because when I saw this, yielding is the word that came in, and you mentioned it as well, yielding to God. I can share from my, it was, yielding to God is hard. And maybe that's why I kind of, you know, gravitated towards this definition. I wrestled, you know, when people ask me, you know, who, you know, what's the image that you have when it comes to biblical character that you identify with before? It was like Jacob wrestling, right? Remember Jacob was wrestling? So yielding to God, I don't know what you guys think, but I thought yielding to God was one of the hardest things. And God had to do, it's a fruit of the Spirit, like Galatians 5:23. It is definitely fruit of the Spirit, because of the Spirit that was breaking. It was, he's doing a work. It's like the purifying fire, right? Yielding. So otherwise I did not want to yield to God. Of course, yielding to men, to your family, to each other, to your boss, all this, that is hard too. You know, coming to a place where you are putting yourself under putting someone else's interest before yours. That's another lesson in itself too. So how about you guys? You know, where are you guys at? How do you guys feel about that? You know, yielding to God, yielding to men, both of which is meek, is being meek, and that's what we're called to do.
Yielding to other human beings is way harder because God is perfect, right? It's easier to yield to a fair, a just, a perfect being.
Yeah.
But into other human beings, it's usually injustice. It's like, it's really hard.
Okay. Yeah. It is. You know, hey, Lily. Yeah, I didn't see you. I'm assuming that's you, right? I can
hear. Yeah, it's
so. So someone asked me this. Regardless of the election and the results, they asked me, "Are you willing to yield to God's will or his choosing of your leader, even though it's very hard for you to yield to that person he has chosen?" Now it encompasses both. I thought that was a great question. The question is not, you know, the struggle is not, who should I vote for or who should be in the leadership, but what if God will has chosen that person? Where does your yielding land? Are you still able to yield to God's will of choosing that person to be your authority?
I think a precedent is quite far off, right? I mean, some can say we yielded to Trump for 4 years already. You know, some will say we yielded. And some will, you know, of course, there are some that are saying, why should we yield to Biden? But I think that that if they can't even yield to a president, then they're going to have big trouble yielding to anybody else because the president is so far away. What if it's if the difficult person is your boss or your teacher?
Yeah.
You know, what if you have a lecturer or a teacher that is anti-Christ, you know, you know, but you still have to be meek. You have to pick a battle. So you can't just battle whenever you want. What if you have a boss that's discriminatory?
So,
do you just quit? Right.
I think if you guys are following, what was it, Living Life, the devotional, they're going through the book of Daniels right now. And, you know, I think Frank is trying to tie in, and let me know if I misspeak, you know, Frank, but he's trying to tie in, like, when we yield to a circumstance or a person per se, we're ultimately also yielding to God's leading and sovereignty in our lives in that area, right? Given the fact that we are like listening and following the Spirit, right? And not just making our own random like arbitrary choices. But going back to the book of Daniels, you know, I'm thinking of like how they were all carried off as like basically slaves and exiles, you know, to King Nebuchadnezzar. And given the fact that he was one of the few who were selected to be chosen to, you know, get the education, you could call it brainwashing, whatever, to be like, you know, that culture, right? The king has chosen. But I think one of the devotional days that really spoke out to me was when, you know, Daniel had to interpret that dream for the king. And basically it was a dream of like, it was basically judgment, right? Like the king was gonna live as an animal and et cetera until he acknowledged God. And one of the things that stood out to me was, you know, instead of Daniel kind of just saying like, ha ha, you know, this is what you deserve, this is what my God does to people like you, he he actually tried to like counsel the king and like say, hey, repent, you know, like acknowledge, like basically acknowledge God now, right? Don't do what you keep doing what you're doing. And I think to like just see that from someone who's, you know, where Daniel's coming from and where his whole like culture and nation is like almost, you know, gone, right? In that sense, that he's able to have that sort of like attitude, or I would say like care, or maybe in a sense love for, you know, the something like an enemy king, right? But maybe he didn't necessarily see as enemy, but it's someone who God has placed over him during this time with authority, and he trusts, you know, like just like God sustained him and his health and everything by eating vegetables, God will sustain his people through this kingdom as well. So I think that was one area, you know, when we think of like, especially when it comes to, I think Pastor James brought it up really well, like people, right? Because we deal with them all the time. With God, sometimes, you know, he's God, he's perfect, we just kind of accept it. And I think there's area to grow in that as well. But with people, it's hard, because especially with people you rub friction with against, yeah, it's hard to kind of accept that, right? Well, then, you know, I guess the challenge to that is like, how are we ever to love our enemies if something, you know, like someone who's hard to deal with, we are allowing God help the Spirit to allow us to help to love them, you know?
Yeah. How would we yield to someone that we have a lot of friction with? Right. That is the practical. That is the practical lesson here. And what we need to, obviously we can't go through, we haven't gone to the good part yet, right? We haven't gone to the blessing yet. But that is something that we wanna think about. And I do believe that the more of the conversation as we, you know, we talk about this, I think they're conjoined together, yielding to God and yielding to men and being meek towards God and men are one of the same. I think it's the same thing because we're submitting to what God has placed, what God has deemed, and what God has put you in the situation and the people around you. I think it's one and the same, and it is the fruit of the Spirit. And it does require us, as Becca was saying earlier, submitting to the Holy Spirit. Now, how does that look like? I think this conversation can keep going, and we can, you know, go into next week. We don't have to finish it this week. I know there's children's worship, and usually I would do a bad job of keeping that timeline for Nancy and for Janet and for all the children worship teachers. So I won't do that this time. So if you need to leave and sign off right now, go ahead. The rest of us, we can, if you have another comment, we can share. We won't end it here. We'll pick it back up next week too, because this is obviously a very long drawn out topic, and we can talk a lot more about it. And don't forget, we shall inherit the earth, right? That's the blessing. What does that mean? You're gonna be king? You're gonna inherit everything on earth? You're gonna have all the good stuff coming to you when you be meek, when you become meek? So that's an interesting part that we wanna go over next week too. Yeah.
I have an example.
Okay.
Might be an example. I don't know. When I look at this verse at the end, it said that they shall inherit the earth. And I think it's easier for a mom as a mom to understand. Mm. And for example, like me, that when Milton going through kindergarten or whatever, when he was little, and do I want to like teach him all the ABC, all the multiplication tables, all the addition way before anyone, to just to be ahead of all other kids? Well, since I'm an engineer, maybe that I want him to learn more math. But as he grew up, he is a math idiot. He hates math. And do I continue to press on me and Michael are very mathematical type? Mm-hmm. And it get down to the point that I have to tell God that, yes, I'm willing to accept that he's not like us.
Oh, wow. That's a big one. Yes. Okay. Maybe, well, that's a really, that's a huge one that, you know, what you just said. In fact, something I actually have in my notes, but we didn't get to, is that, and this is what Pastor Alex said before everyone signed on too, yielding to God and in respect to even our kids, right? How God has made them, how God has made everyone unique, that we're not trying to, yes, we lead them to the way of the Lord, but we don't strangle them to the way that we want them to be. That's a huge one. That's what you're talking about, right, Mabel?
Yes.
Yeah, that's huge, because I'm dealing with that right now. It's so hard.
I think
the hard part, right? Yeah.
Get down to the point that knowing that he is specially made by God, am I willing to accept who God made him who he is? And does I want to push him into what I want him to be? And yeah. And I think as a parent, it's constant struggle that I want him this way, I want him that way, I want him to be a doctor, I want him to be an engineer, but that's not what God made them. And as a mom is or as a parent is hard to accept it. So it has to get down to the point that, yes, God, I am willing to accept.
Yes, God. So that's a blending of both. Yes, God, I yield to you and how you made him. Yeah, then there's no mathematical part to his brain. I yield to that. I thank you for how you have created him and his other strengths. And then I'm gentle towards him, knowing that I've yielded to his maker. And yeah, that's a huge part. Does anyone, other moms feel the same way or other parents? Yes, no?
I feel exactly the same. And I feel the Holy Spirit is leading and leading for Maple sharing and Sean sharing. I feel very comforted. Milton, don't feel bad. Your example is helping me.
Yes. Thank you, Milton. You're the subject today, but it's the Spirit is leading the conversation, right? Yeah, and he's comforting us, knowing that God has made each one of them so different, and he has a purpose for them. And we can be at peace and be comforted by yielding to God.
Well, I thank God for giving me Milton so that I'd be able to learn.
Yes. Thank you, Milton. We can all say thank you, Milton. You're a blessed child.
Hey, thank you, Milton.
Thank you, Milton. Let's just all say thank you, Milton. Thank you, God.
You guys are welcome. I'm kidding.
We thank God for Milton. That's great. Yes. That's a blessing.
Maple, you and Milton are more alike than you think you are. Really?
Okay. Tell me one day when we have time.
Look at all the arts and craft things you have. That's your interest. That's not your livelihood, that's your interest.
He's going to art school, right? Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, man. Yeah, it is a blessing. It is a blessing when we are meek towards God and towards our children, towards our people around us. Brings us comfort, right? I think that was, it all ties back to what we just learned last week too. Somehow the Spirit brings comfort when we yield to God. So, all right. I know this can't keep going. Let's go to our Father in prayer, okay? Father, we are so thankful that you have made all of us differently and uniquely. You have a purpose for all of us, for our families, for our parents, for our children, for our spouses, our bosses, that to you, and that we will understand the there's a purpose in all of that, all of which you have put us in, and that when we yield to you, Lord, that your Spirit becomes a comfort to us, and that you will show us the mysteries of life, that we would see things that the world cannot show us, that we would, that the peace that comes over us is surpasses all understanding. And when we rest in that, you become a refuge for us. You become strength for us. You become a comfort to us so that we can be blessed, so that we can say, even when we mourn and when we feel weak, we can say that we're strong. We thank you for your word, because it is a powerful and living word that is changing us today. We pray all this in your precious name. Amen.